Okay. So we are holding Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Okay, to recap where we're up to, if you don't mind putting on here, brother, to recap where we're up to, we said in the Mishnah that if a kira, which is a stove that has wings of two pots, if you use gefes, which we said was sesame seed pulp or olive pulp or whatever, or wood to fire it, then you have a problem that those produce coals, and the Chachamim are concerned that you may stir those coals on Shabbos. Therefore, we have two different dinim that we've been dealing with. We have shehiya and chazara. Shehiya is leaving a pot of food on the stove before Shabbos, and chazara is putting it back there on Shabbos. And we were talking about two different opinions within that so far. We had, before we even get to a machlokas, the Shammai v'Hillel, we have two different opinions. We have Chananya versus the Chachamim. Chananya holds that shehiya is no problem, even if the food is, even if, as long as the food is already cooked to the point of Michael Bendrisoy, where it's already a third or a half cooked, according to the different poskim. By the way, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is that ideally you should have it cooked, you should have it half cooked before Shabbos in order to avoid any issues. If b'di'evet, if you only had it a third cooked, then fine, you can eat it. But anyway, so Chananya had held that if the food is already at Michael Bendrisoy, then you don't even need to do anything with the coals before Shabbos. You don't need to do goruf for kotum. You don't have to sweep out the coals or cover them with ashes. You would be allowed to do shahiya of food that was at Michael Ben Grisoy before Shabbos on such a stove. When it comes to chazara, then you would need to have, then it needs to be goruf for kotum in order for you to be able to return to put the food back onto it on Shabbos. That was Chananya. And then we had the Chachamim, the other Chachamim, who disagree with Chananya, say that no, that even Shehiya, even to put the pot of food there, to stay there, to stay there for Shabbos, you can't do that. But you can't do that even if it's already at Michael Ben Drusoy, unless the stove, is Goruf B'Kotum, unless you swept out the coals or covered them with ashes. Within that, we said in the Mishnah, we had two machlokas in the Shammai v'Hillel about whether all this heter, and we have to figure out which heter we're talking about, shehiya or chazara, applies only to hot water or also to food. And second of all, whether it only applies to leaving it on there before Shabbos and then but not putting it back. Or according to Basil, it works even for putting it back. So far, what we've been trying to do in the Gemara is to establish our Mishnah had used the expression noisnim alei tavshil or lo yitin achi yigros, etc. So what does it mean to put a tavshil on there? Does it mean to do shehiya or does it mean to do chazara? And that's what we were dealing with. If the Mishnah is telling us when you're allowed to do, telling us rules for when you're allowed to do chazara. Chazara is more stringent than shehiya, first of all, because you're actually doing it on Shabbos and it looks more like cooking. There's also much more of a concern because the pot has already cooled off after you took it off the stove. There's much more of a concern that you might stir the coals or stir the pot or whatever. Therefore, chazara is always going to be more stringent than shehiya. So is the Mishnah telling us rules about chazara, implying shehiya there's less of an issue, and that would be according to Chananya? Or is the Mishnah giving us rules for shehiya and saying, and then the same, and similar rules would apply to chazara? So we were trying to see whether the Mishnah works according to one or the other of those understandings. So that's where we're up to, 11 lines from the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Toshma, so the Gemara says, let's bring a proof. The Amr of Chelbay, Amr of Chama, Baguya, Amr Rab, Loi Shanu Ella Al Gaba. This that was saying about putting a pot on the fire is only when you're putting it on top of the stove, on top of the kira. We have to remember the description of a kira that we said yesterday, that it looks like a big box with two holes in it where you would put pots on top of it. So sometimes you could put pots on top of the kira, meaning on top of one of those holes, and you might have, for example, there might be like a cover there that partially covers the hole so the pot doesn't fall in, or there might be little projections sticking out around the hole for you to put the pot on top of. Whatever you have, you could put it on top of there, or versus you could have where you put the pot inside the kira, where you actually lower the pot through the hole and put it directly down on the coals inside. So this that was, so the Chacham of Aguya is telling us that this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to do something, and we're not sure yet what the something is, that's what we have to figure out, that what, this that we said you're not allowed, this that we said you're allowed to, is Ela al Gaba, only if you're putting it on top of the stove, Aval L'Socha Osir, but if you put it inside the stove, then it would be Osir. So now let's figure out what he's talking about. If you say that our Mishnah is talking about the dinim of Chazara and saying that only when it comes to Chazara do you have to make sure that the stove is goruf v'katum, I'm going to be, by the way, I think I'd like to be able to use the expression goruf v'katum without defining it every time, so let's make sure that we all understand what that means. Goruf means that the coals have been cleared out, have been swept out, and katum means they've been covered with ashes. If you say that, so again, our Mishnah had said that you can't do something, we don't yet know whether it's Shehi or Chazara, unless the stove is Goruf B'Katum. So if you say that the Mishnah is telling us about Chazara, which would be, in other words, if we say the Mishnah goes according to Hananiah, and we're saying, therefore, that to do Chazara, the stove has to be Goruf B'Katum, but to do Shehi, to leave the pot on the stove before Shabbos, that's not necessary. You could do that even if the stove is full of regular coals, if you're going to say that. Then that explains why there's a difference between inside it and on top of it. Namely, Rashi had learned at the beginning of the parak that the whole problem with Shehiya is that if you're putting the whole problem with putting a pot on the stove before Shabbos is that if you're putting it directly where there are coals, then it amounts to Hatzmana. If you're putting it directly on the coals, then it amounts to Hatzmana, then it amounts to insulating it with something that'll keep it hot. And we learned briefly before, and we're going to learn in more detail in the fourth paragraph, that the Chachamim do not allow us to do Hatzmana in something that adds heat to the pot. So therefore, so then we would understand there's a difference between inside it, where it's literally on top of the coals and the ashes, versus on top of one of the holes in the kira, where it's not directly on the coals and the ashes. So fine, that would make sense. As far as chazara, then he would say when you're putting the pot back in after having taken it off and you're putting it directly onto the coal, sure, that would be also on Shabbos. But if you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about the Dinim of Shehiya, namely the Mishnah would be saying therefore that with even to do Shehiya, you need the stove to be Goruf B'Katum, and for Chazara, the rules might be even more strict than that. Well then, Mali Teucha Mali Al Gaba. Then what's the difference between whether you're doing Shehiya above the stove or inside the stove? Either way, it should have to be Goruf B'Katum. And once it's Goruf B'Katum, then who cares? If you're going to say that the Mishnah is telling us rules about Shehiya, meaning that Shehiya can only be done if the stove is Goruf B'Katum, well, once you've done Goruf B'Katum, then what's the difference between inside it or on top of it? Either way, there's no coals over there, or the coals have been covered with ashes. So either way, there's no issue of Hatzmana with something that's increasing the heat. So what's the difference between inside it or on top of it? Now, that is all according to Rashi's understanding of the whole issue, that the whole issue, according to Rashi, is basically an outgrowth of the Dinim of Hatzmana. As we said yesterday, most of the other Rishonim disagree with that, and they say there's a big difference because Hatzmana is only when the pot is completely covered, or at least covered on the sides of it. Here it's not. The cases in our Mishnah and our Gemara can even be talking about where the pot is not even touching the coals at all. For example, let's say you have a tripod, you have a stand that stands inside the coals, and then you put the pot on top of that. So even if you put ashes on top of the coals, it's also moistened heavily, it also adds heat. So most of the other Rishonim, we said, disagree with Rashi, and say that so they would understand our Gemara as follows. Again, let's look back at the Gemara. If you say that it's talking about machzirin, that our Mishnah is talking about machzirin, then again, there's a difference between inside it or on top of it, where if you want to put the pot inside it, then if you to put the cooker pot inside it, where it becomes much hotter because of the heat that's inside the stove, then there would be a difference between that and putting it on top of it. But if you say that the Mishnah is telling us rules about Shehiyah, then if you did Gerur for Katum, only then can you put the pot in there to stay for Shabbos, then what's the difference whether it's inside or on top of it? Either way, you've got no coals over there, and therefore there's no coals over there. There's no concern of anything that you're going to stir up. So why would there be a difference between inside it or on top of it? So therefore, shouldn't that show that on Mishnah is in fact talking about Chazara? And therefore, Rav Chelboy is telling us that there's a difference between that even when you have an on Mishnah saying if you did Gerur for Katum, you're allowed to do Chazara, you're allowed to put a pot back on such a stove on Shabbos, but only on top of the stove, not inside it. However, the Gemara says, Mi Sabrat Rav Chelboy Areshakoi, do you think that Rav Chelboy is referring to the beginning of the Mishnah, talking about the case where you swept out the coals and now you're going to do something, which we're assuming is Chazara? Not necessarily. Asefakoi. Rav Chelboy is actually referring to the Sefer, where we have the Macholikas, the Shama, the Tilol, about returning a pot to the stove. That part, we're clearly talking about Chazara. Again, the first part of the Mishnah, maybe it's talking about Shehiyah, maybe it's talking about Chazara. That's what we've been discussing this whole time, whether it goes according to Hanani or according to Chavani. The last part of the Mishnah, which talks about, where it mentions, the last sentence of the Mishnah, where Beit Shammai says you can't put the pot back, and the Tilol says you couldn't put it back, that obviously is talking about Chazara. So Rav Chelboy would be referring to that part, or Beit Shammai Oyrim Af Machzirim, he'd be referring to the last words of the Mishnah when Beit Shammai says you're allowed to put the pot back on the stove. But Omer Rav Chelboy, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav, so there Rav Chelboy would be saying in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guri, in the name of Rav, Loishanu Ela Al Gaba, that would only apply, the Tilol would only allow you to do it on top of the stove, Abel Toicha Osu. But inside the stove, even if the stove is Gerur for Katum, still the Tilol would not be allowing you to put back the pot inside the stove, because when you put it inside the stove, it looks a lot more like cooking. It looks even more like cooking than putting it on top. Whereas, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, when you put a pot on top of the stove, you have, on the one hand, the heat of the stove that's heating it up. On the other hand, you have the sides of the pots are exposed to the air, and that tends to cool them down, and therefore it's sort of, it's not getting quite as hot, and it's not cooking quite as much as it would if you put it inside the stove, where then the only cold air that's coming to it is through the hole of the top of the stove. So not necessarily is Rav Chelboy teaching us a din in Shehiyah, he may be teaching us only a din in Chazara. So you still don't have a proof, therefore, that our Mishnah is talking, whether our Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah or whether it's talking about Chazara. By the way, again, I know these are a lot of terms to keep straight. If at any point during the discussion you're not understanding something, then interrupt me and tell me. But until then, I'm going to assume that we still understand. So again, so far no proof of whether our Mishnah is of what our Mishnah is telling us, whether it's telling us a din in Shehiyah, or whether that in order to leave a pot there before Shabbos you have to have the oven, you have to have Gerur for Katum, or is the Mishnah saying that no, as long as the food is already at Michael Ben Drusoy, then Shehiyah is not a problem, whether you did Gerur for Katum or not. Only when it comes to Chazara, only when it comes to putting the pot actually back on Shabbos, will there be a difference, which would be according to Hananya. So we still don't know what our Mishnah is saying, for sure. Okay. Tashma, the Gemara says, come, we'll bring a proof from another case. A Braisa says, Beis Kiris Hamas Imos. Suppose you have two Kiris, which are attached together. Now remember, Kira itself is large enough to have two pots on top of it or inside it. It looks like them, like we said, a big box with two, really like a big rectangular box with two big holes on top for putting pots. But now you can build two such things with a common wall between them. They're made out of earthenware. So you have a wall of earthenware between them. So altogether over here, now you have four spaces for pots. Two on top of one kira and two on top of the other kira. So suppose you have like that. So they're made like that. They're made like that, two next to two others, and each one has its own cavity underneath where you're putting wood or what have you. Suppose that one of them has been goruf b'katum, so you prepared it for Shabbos by sweeping out the coals or covering them with ashes. The other one of these two stoves you did not. So the din is mashin al gabi grufo k'tumah. You're allowed to leave food for Shabbos on the one that is goruf b'katum. The ein mashin al she'ena grufo ve'ena k'tumah. You're not allowed to leave food for Shabbos on the one that is not goruf b'katum. And the chiddush so far, by the way, is, I mean, that as the Gemara is going to mention soon, that even if you could argue, in this case where the two of them are attached together and they actually have a common wall, when you leave food on the one that is goruf b'katum, it's still getting some heat from the other one that's not goruf b'katum. And still we're saying you're allowed to do that. So we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned about the amount of heat that comes from the non goruf b'katum one to the goruf b'katum one. So you'd be allowed to leave pots on top of the goruf b'katum one. Umahein mashin. And continues the Braisa, what are you, so far we see that the Braisa is telling us that we're talking about Shehiyah, because only, we're saying that only if the first one is goruf b'katum, only then can you put pots on it before Shabbos. So already that shows that our Mishnah, which for Pashtus is talking about the same thing, is also talking about Shehiyah. But the Mishnah, the Braisa, is going to tell us that there are actually Machloikas Tanoim besides the Machloikas Hananiah and the Chachamim that we had before, and besides the Machloikas Hasham and Bezil, we also have a Machloikas Tanoim about what exactly are the parameters of what you can do on a Goruf B'Katum or not. So again, the Braisa said, Mashin Agabi Grufo K'tumah, you're allowed to do Shehiyah on top of the one stove that is Goruf B'Katum, Ve'ein Mashin Al She'ena Grufo, Ve'ena K'tumah, you're not allowed to do Shehiyah on the other one. Now, on the one that is goruf b'katum, what kind of pot would you be allowed to leave on top of it? Beit Shammai actually says, according to this version in the Braisa, nothing. In other words, Beit Shammai does not hold of the whole concept of goruf b'katum. They would say, even if a stove was goruf b'katum, you're still not allowed to leave anything on top of it. And whereas the Tillo would say you could only put hot water there to stay hot for Shabbos, not food, which so far, that's not what we said in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said that Shammai had allowed you water and the Tillo allowed you food. So this is a different Tana. Okar, and then if you took the pot off the fire and now you want to do Chazori, you want to put it back, give it half a loyachs to give it a mayor, then the mayor would say everybody, both the Shammai and the Tillo, agree that you can't put it back. Rabbi Yehuda says more like what we said in our Mishnah. That the Shammai says you can only put hot water on a stove that is goruf b'katum, and not on a stove that is not, but not a tabshil, not cooked food. Or the Tzilla and Chamin the Tabshil. The Tzilla would say you could put both hot water or a pot of food. The Shammai and Noitzman Abalam Achzirin and the Tzilla and Achmachzirin. And the Shammai would say that when it comes to Chazara, you can't do Chazara, even though you already did Goruf B'Katum, even though you prepared the stove for Shabbos. The Tzilla would say that you could put it back. And now it is true we're talking about a specific case over here, of this particular case where you have two kiras that are connected. But at least according to Rashi, the Gemara is assuming at this stage that there's really no difference. The Braisa is mentioning that particular case, but these dinim that we're saying of what Rabbi Meir holds, the Shammai and the Tzilla holds, and what Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Shammai and the Tzilla holds, would apply the same thing if it was one individual kira and you did goruf b'katum to it. But there's really no difference. the Bleicher happens to be mentioned in the case. We have two attached together, but they would hold the same things if it was one, if it was one freestanding one. So now let's analyze. Now let's go back to our Mishnah. If you say then that our Mishnah is talking about the dinim of Shehiya, of when you're allowed to leave the pot on the stove before Shabbos, then must be in mind Rabbi Yehuda. Well, then it becomes very clear. Our Mishnah, when we have Rabbi Yehuda's version and we have the Meir's version and Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Shama and the Tzul of Machlokes, then obviously our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Shama and the Tzul of Machlokes. And therefore, our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. But if you say that our Mishnah is being more makel and saying that all the rules in our Mishnah apply only to Chazara, but Shehiya you're allowed even without Gadol for Kotum, then we have to ask, then which of these Tanoim would our Mishnah be like? Lord of Yehuda or Lord of Meir? It wouldn't be like the Meir, because either Meir, Pashal of the Silva Chodra, or the Silva Taiti, because if you tried to make our Mishnah work according to the Meir, then there would be one contradiction within what the Shammai says, and two contradictions within what the Silva says. Because according to the Meir, the Shammai is saying that you can't even keep hot water on the stove before Shabbos, even if it was Gadol for Kotum. Meanwhile, we said in the Mishnah that the Shammai would allow you to put hot water. So that would be in one way in which our Mishnah would be different than Reb Meir's understanding of the Shammai. And in two different ways, it would be different than Reb Meir's understanding of the Hillel. Because, number one, the Hillel is allowing you to put, again, if we say that our Mishnah is only talking about Chazara, then it means, and when we're more makel on Shehiya than Chazara, then it means the Tilo is allowing you to do Shehiya even of hot water or of food, even if it wasn't Gadol for Kotum. Whereas in the Braisa we said that only when the stove is Gadol for Kotum, only then can you. So you have, and second of all, you have the contradiction as far as Chazara, where the Tilo and our Mishnah allows it when the stove is Gadol for Kotum, and the Meir says that the stove does not. So you can't make our Mishnah work according to the Meir if you say that our Mishnah is talking about Chazara. And either of Yehuda, Kashi Gufa Uktuma. And if you try to make our Mishnah go according to Yehuda, you'd still have the problem because, okay, you could say that the first Machlokes in our Mishnah, the Shammai and the Tzilul, is talking about where it's not Gadol for Kotum, and the Shammai is saying even if it's not Gadol for Kotum, fine, the Shammai says you're allowed to put hot water there, you're allowed to leave hot water there, the Tzilul says you're allowed to leave a pot of food. Now we're saying, though, the Braisa we just quoted says that you can't do Shehiya if it's not Gadol for Kotum. And therefore, it doesn't work with our Mishnah, where our Mishnah implicitly would be saying that you're allowed to do Shehiya where it's not Gadol for Kotum. So obviously, the only way to make it work would be to say that our Mishnah is talking about the dinim of Shehiya, and then it matches the Braisa exactly. So that should prove that the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, and therefore the Mishnah is being machmir and saying that even for Shehiya, the stove needs to be Gadol for Kotum. For Chazara, all the more so. Not like we say in the point of Hananya, that Shehiya, there's less of an issue as long as the food is cooked to Michael Ben Rasai. The answer is, the Gemara says, still not necessarily. After all, we could say that our Mishnah is talking about the beginning of Chazara, and saying, in other words, implicitly, that for Shehiya, you don't need all of that. You don't need Gadol for Kotum in order to leave a pot on there for Shabbos. The Tana is that. You could say that the Tana of our Mishnah represents a third opinion, which agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one detail and disagrees with him on another detail. He does agree with Rabbi Yehuda that when it comes to the dinim of Notlin Machzirim, about whether you're allowed to put a pot back on Shabbos. So he would say that fine, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Shammai says, if the Tfilah is Gorer for Kotum, then the Shammai still doesn't allow Chazorah and the Tfilah does. Fine. So he would be agreeing. He'd be agreeing with him on that, and also on Chanan and Tafshil, as far as Shehiya, whether you're allowed to leave both hot water and food on the stove before Shabbos. He would agree with Rabbi Yehuda on all of that. But he would be arguing with him on a detail. The Tana of On Mishnah would be saying that you're allowed to do Shehiya even if the stove is not Gorer for Kotum, which we said would be according to Hananya. But Rabbi Yehuda thought of the Lashai's now Gorer for Kotum ain't Eloiloi. And Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that no, or even for Shehiya, you need Gorer for Kotum. You could say, in other words, you could still make our Mishnah work if you assume that the Tana of our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and is more makel than Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda himself in the Braisa would be saying that for Shehiya, to put the pot on there before Shabbos, you need Gorer for Kotum. And this Tana of our Mishnah would be saying that, no, you don't necessarily need that. He would be holding like Hananya, and he would be saying that Shehiya, you're able to do Shehiya, even if, as long as the food was cooked to Michael Ben Rusai, even if you didn't prepare the stove before Shabbos by doing Gorer for Kotum. Okay. So the bottom line is we don't really have a clear proof one way or the other which opinion our Mishnah holds like. So again, we talked about yesterday that there is a machloikas rishonim, which do we follow Hananya's opinion or do we not? The Rif and the Rambam say that halacha is not like Hananya, and they bring various, and the Rif brings various proofs from various parts of our sugya. For example, later on we're going to have something that Rav Oshia says that seems to go against what Hananya says. So they passed him not like Hananya, so therefore that would result in the halacha that to do Shehiya, you have to do Gorer for Kotum, or the present-day equivalent would be putting a blech, whereas you have a number of the other Rishonim, starting with Tosfos, say that the halacha is like Hananya, therefore only for Chazara, only to put the pot back on Shabbos, do you have to have that Gorer for Kotum. But in order to do Shehiya, you wouldn't need that. You would be able to do Shehiya even if you didn't do Gorer for Kotum. If the pot is touching the coals, then that's something else. Then you have a bit of a different issue, because then you have the question whether you're allowed to move the pot on Shabbos, because that's likely to make the coals burn. Then you have a bit of a different issue involved. But as long as, for example, the pot is let's say hanging above the coals or on a tripod that's sitting in the coals or whatever, and the pot is not touching them, then those Rishonim would say like Hananya, that there's no issue with Shehiya as long as the food was Michael Ben Rusai ahead of time. The Mechaber seems to favor the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, because he brings it first, and they only bring the other opinion of Yesha Imrim. That Amos says that the Zelt is Noheg to be Makel like the Yesha Imrim. The Rosh, by the way, says an interesting line on it. He says, by rights, maybe we should be machmir, but the Jewish people love oinig Shabbos. The Jewish people love the enjoyment of Shabbos and want to be able to have hot food on Shabbos. And if we're machmir on them too much, then they're not going to accept it from us. So therefore, the fact that they're makel, according to the opinion, that the halacha is like Hananya, fine, we can leave well enough alone, says the Rosh. So therefore, so the result of that would be, nowadays, that if you're just talking about leaving the pot on before Shabbos, you don't technically need a blech. But if you're going to be, putting the pot back after you took it off the stove with the conditions that we're going to talk about later, where you're holding it, et cetera, then you would need a blech. Then you would need Gorer for Kotum in order to be able to do that. Okay. New discussion.
Regarding a crock pot which doesn't have coals and doesn't have fire, how do you manage that?
When you get down to it, all regular stoves nowadays don't have fire, right? They're either gas. Well, even if they're gas fire, they're not coals per se.
But it's still fire.
Right.
But a crock pot doesn't have anything.
Well, it does. It has an electrical element. But you still have the concern. So there is still, with such things, there still is the concern that you might raise or lower the temperature of the crock pot, or you might raise or lower the gas or whatever. Basically, the posts can say that our modern-day stoves have the din of, have the same din as the pira of the Gemara over here. So therefore, basically, what you do is you put a blech on it, and therefore that can, and again, we're saying technically you don't need the blech for shehiyah if you say the halacha is like Hananya, which again, the velt fits just that way. But you definitely need a blech if you're going to do chazara. Basically, the post can apply the same rules of the to the same rules for the kira of our Mishnah. They apply to modern day stove. The post can actually say, as we mentioned yesterday, that even our present-day ovens are not like the ovens of the times of the Gemara, because the ovens in the times of the Gemara were narrower on top than on bottom, so they only had a very small hole on top for the heat and the smoke and whatever to escape. Therefore, they retained heat a lot more than a kira, which is the same width on top and on bottom. And therefore, so later on in the parak, the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about that an oven has different rules for these things. An oven has stricter rules. But the post can say, our present-day ovens, which open from the side, so they don't retain heat to the same extent as the ovens of the times of the Gemara. Therefore, when you put a pot in the oven, it's the same thing, in effect, as putting it on the stoves that we're talking on the stoves that we're talking about in our Gemara over here. So therefore, again, for Shehiyah, you don't need anything. Leave something in the oven before Shabbos. You don't have as much of an issue. But to do Chazara, if you wanted to put it back, then you would need something. In the case of an oven, basically, you would need an oven. And so it's like some people use for Pesach.
But do you need to cover the knobs of a crockpot or the knobs of an oven of present day in order to be able to leave it on the stove?
According to many poskim, yes. Because the idea is the idea behind the godof for kotum that we're talking about over here in the Gemara, or putting a blech, part of the idea is you're cooking in a way that's different than during the weekday, and therefore that way you're demonstrating by doing that you're not planning to turn up, so you're not planning to stir the coals or turn up the temperature or what have you. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, just the fact that you have a blech, even if it doesn't cover the controls, would be good enough. With that said, a number of post-machronim say that it's really better to have a blech that covers the controls as well, so that you don't accidentally fiddle with them.
That's fine, but that doesn't work for crockpots.
A crockpot. You can also have something where you cover the knob. You can cover the knobs of a crockpot with something. I think they even make nowadays. I think they make covers for them. So yeah. So you put something over the knob. Again, if you don't, then if you don't, you're not going to say that you can't eat the food on Shabbos. The fact that you have silver foil or whatever in the crockpot amounts to a blech. And again, keep in mind the whole business we're talking about over here is primarily as far as Chazara. As far as Shehiyah, there's really less of an issue anyway. If you have something you can cover the knobs with, then that would be the proper thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go on. Okay, I mean, again, as far as practical questions of Allah, you ask the Rav, don't ask me. But, here we're dealing with, this is more meant to, these kinds of Gemaras and this kind of discussion is more meant to make us educated consumers. So that when we go to the Rav, we have some idea what we're even asking, you know. All right, let's go on. Okay. We have a question now as follows. Mahu lismashba. All this time we've been talking about putting a pot of food on top of the kira, or maybe inside it, which we said inside there's more of an issue. But what about, let's say the stove has not been goruf for kotum. So you didn't do anything to prepare the fire before Shabbos. But let's say you could have that, you could put a pot next to the stove, on the outside of it, with the side of the pot touching the side of the stove, and that way it'll absorb some heat from the stove. Would you be allowed to do that? If the stove wasn't going for kotum, would you be allowed to put the pot like that before Shabbos on the ground next to the stove so that it'll absorb some of the heat from the stove, which was not going for kotum? So is it toich of a gaba? Is it toich of a gaba after? Is it only if you put the pot on top of it or inside it? Is it also, if you didn't do goruf for kotum, have a lismach b'shapu d'ani, but to put a pot next to it would be fine, even without goruf for kotum? Or maybe there's no difference. Either way, once we say that it's also to have the pot warmed up by the heat of the kira, if you didn't do goruch b'kasum, then the same thing would apply even to put it on the outside next to it. Again, Tosfos says, depending on the previous sugya, whether we say that our Mishnah was talking about shehiyah or chazara, then the question would be then the question. So if we say that our Mishnah had been talking according to the stricter opinion that we're talking about rules for shehiyah, okay, then the question is whether this is the same thing, whether putting it next to is the equivalent of shehiyah. If we say that you're allowed to do shehiyah even if it's not goruch b'kasum, if it was Michael Ben Rusoi, then the case would be over here if the food was not yet at Michael Ben Rusoi when Shabbos came in. Okay, so that's the question. So Toshma, come, we'll bring a proof from the Braisa that we quoted before. Shtei Kiras Hamas Imos. We said if you had two Kiras that were built together with one common wall, Achas Grufo Ktuma, Achas Shein Grufo Ktuma, one you did go for Kotum, one you did not. We said, Mashin Agabi Grufo Ktuma, you're allowed to do Shehiyah on top of the stove that was Goruch B'Kotum, and Va'af Agabi Pasolik Lahev Lameidah. Now, even though there's heat coming to it from the other one, nevertheless, we're allowing it. So by the same logic, therefore, it should be allowed to put a pot of food next to a Kira that was not Goruch B'Kotum, even though also it's getting heat from it. The answer is, the Gemara says not necessarily is that the same thing. Dilma shiny hosam, because it's different in that case. Given the medallia, since the pot is high up, it's on top of the stove, shalit ba'avira, therefore the cold air of the room has an effect on it, and therefore it doesn't really, so therefore it kind of counteracts. On the one hand, it's getting heat from the non-goruch b'kotrum stove. On the other hand, it's also getting cooled off by the air in the room, which is at room temperature. So therefore, those two things kind of balance out. As opposed to when we're talking about over here, you're putting a pot of food on the ground next to the stove, then you don't really have, it's not really affected by the air in the room that much, and therefore that might be a problem unless the stove is goruch b'kasum. Okay, so no proof. But Toshma, the Omer of Safra, Omer of Chia, will bring a proof from something that Rav Safra said in the name of Chia. Kitma v'dislavsa. Suppose that, now we said all this time, we've been saying you have goruch and you have kotum, right? You can sweep out the coals. By the way, you have the razor holes that you're going to have to sweep them out. You just sweep them to one side. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with that. That's the halacha, is you have to sweep them out completely, or at least as much as possible. Anyway, so you can sweep them out. Or we said you can leave the coals where they are and cover them with ashes. Now, the Rav Safra tells us, kitma v'nislamsa, suppose that you covered the coals with ashes before Shabbos. So good. Now it's kotum. Now you should be able to do shehiyah or chazara, as the case may be. But v'nislamsa, but then the coals started burning up again, and the fire started up again. The din is, he says, sonkoma, you're still allowed to put a pot next to such a stove, or makainalea, you're still allowed to shahia and leave a pot of food on such a stove. The noten mimena, you're allowed to take the pot off there on Shabbos, or machzirima, and you're allowed to put it back on there. In other words, you're allowed to do everything, shahia and chazara. But the point is, now we mentioned also sonchema, we mentioned putting a pot next to it. Shmamina lismasnami, which means evidently the implication is that even as far as putting the pot next to the stove, kitma ein loy kitma loy, only if you put ashes on the coals would it be allowed, if not, then not. So there would be our answer. If you didn't do goruch b'kasum, you wouldn't be allowed to put a pot next to it. Only in this case, because you did kasum, even though the fire started up again, nevertheless, you'd still be allowed to continue doing smicha. So you see, therefore, that to do smicha in the first place, you need to be doing goruch b'kasum. The Gemara says not necessarily. According to your own logic, that you're asking from this statement, what about Mertman in Manager Kasani? So what do you mean? There's one of the things he mentioned that you're allowed to do with the stove once you put ashes on it, we're saying Mertman in Manager Kasani. We're saying you're allowed to take the pot off it. What are you going to say? Kitma in my kitma loy. Does that apply only if you put ashes on it? The fact that you're allowed to take a pot off the stove, that would apply whether you did go to Kukotum or not. In other words, if you had, for example, that the food, let's say, was the food was completely cooked before Shabbos, and now you're taking it off on Shabbos. Obviously, there it doesn't matter whether the stove was goruf b'kotim or not. With that, I mean, we're going to be discussing soon in the Gemara. We're going to be discussing the difference between different kinds of pots that you have on the stove. We touched on this yesterday. You have mitzamek v'yachaloi versus mitzamek v'ralo. You have some kinds of things where the longer you leave them on the stove cooking, the better they become. And then you have things like mitzamek v'raloi, things where the longer you leave them, after a while, after they boil or whatever, then you leave them on there any longer, then they start going bad. Water is an example of that. Once you boil up water, there's no advantage to keeping it boiling, because at that point, all that's happening is more and more of it is evaporating. So it's boiling away. So water, for example, is an example of something called the stomach redalloy. So let's say, if you're talking about something that's mitzamek v'ralei, no question, if the water was completely boiled before Shabbos, then you would be allowed to leave it on the stove, even if it's not goruf v'kotum, because there's nothing to be gained by stirring up the coals, because you're not going to gain anything by having the water boil more. So there's no reason for an absafra to mention anything about taking off the pot. And distinguishing between whether you put ashes or not. Ella, so we have to say ton and note from the Shemazirin. Obviously, you could say, why did he mention taking off? As just an introduction to the fact that you can put it back. The same thing, you could say the Safra statement is not mentioning Sonchen as an independent thing of its own. He's mentioning it incidentally as part of the process of Mekainen, of leaving a pot on there before Shabbos. But not necessarily is he actually saying that in order to be Sonchen, you actually have to have done Goruf v'Kotum. Maybe not. The Gemara says, and what kind of comparison is that? Hochi Hashta. How do you think to compare those two things? Taking a pot off the fire and putting it back on the fire both happen in the same place. You take it off, you put it back on in the same place. Therefore, Tana knows from the Shemachirin. So it makes sense that the Tana would mention taking it off the fire as an introduction to mentioning put it back. Because the put it back presupposes that you took it off. So therefore, okay, once he's mentioning Machzirin, then he also mentions Noitlin, just because those two things go together. You can't do Machzirin without previously having done Noitlin. But when it comes to you saying that there's a similar thing between Sonchen and Mekayim, those are two completely different things. Sonchen b'chad makom hu, or Mekayim b'chad makom hu. Sonchen takes place in one place, next to the stove. Mekayim takes place in a different place, on top of the stove. One has nothing to do with the other. So there'd be no reason for Rav Safra to mention Sonchen unless he actually wants to tell us a din about Sonchen itself. So therefore, that should be a proof that Sonchen also requires the stove to be swept out or covered with ashes. Okay, still, the Gemara is not completely satisfied with that. Fine. It's a proof, but it's not necessarily an ironclad proof. So the Gemara asks, my haviyala, what's the bottom line? What is the din as far as this question of something? And Pashma, the Gemara says, we'll prove from a braisa. Kirashi sikor begefes of eitzim, a stove that you fired with gefes, with the sesame seed pulp or whatever, or with wood. You are allowed unconditionally to put a pot next to it before Shabbos, whether it was goruf v'kotum or not. But in Mekayin Elim Ken Grufo Ktuma, but to leave the pot on top of the fire before Shabbos, on top of the stove, that you can't unless it was Grufo Ktuma. So far, so good. There you go then. So you see that. So that being Sonchen is the most lenient of all of them. You can do that even if the stove is not goruf v'kotum. And the braisa continues, gecholim she'amamu, if you have the coals starting to go dim, so they're starting to go out, or she'nosen alei ha'oros shapishtan dafka, or if you spread over the coals fine combings of flax, as we learned in the previous parak, you have your comb out flax when you're preparing it to make linen, and you have the little pieces that come out of it, you have little short fibers of flax. stab pieces of the stems or whatever. It's very flammable stuff. So if you pour some, if you put some of that on top of the coals, then it's the equivalent of tumma, because at that point you've covered the coals. You've covered the coals with something. So the point is, there you see. So you see. In other words, so far what we're saying is like this. To be somech is the most lenient of all. To put a pot next to a hot stove, that you would be allowed to do, even if the stove was not goreh for kasher. The chachamim are not concerned, basically, that you're going to stir up the coals inside the kireh in order to heat up the pot on the outside of it. That we're not concerned about. Then you have shihia, where we had a machloikas, Chananya and chachamim, whether for shihia you require goreh for kasher or not. And again, we said that some Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim, and others paskin like Chananya. And then you have Chazara, where everybody agrees that for Chazara, you need Goruf for Kotum. You can't put a pot back on the stove unless you did Goruf for Kotum before Shabbos.
Rabbi, the last thing you mentioned about putting those fibers, which is very flammable, that's to rekindle the oven, right?
No, apparently not. The Gemara seems to be assuming that once you put them, even though they're flammable, they burn up very quickly because they're so insubstantial. And once that's done, then you have a layer of ashes on top of the coals. So then it amounts to the same thing as putting ashes on the coals. Within a couple of seconds, when you put it on there, it's going to be a layer of ashes.
Which is like kitma and what do you call it? Okay.
Which is kitma, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Another din. Amr of Yitzchak ben Nachmani, Amr of Oshia. Kitma behuvara. Suppose you put ashes on the coals, and then behuvara, and then the fire started up again. Now, Tosfos on Amr Beis has a long discussion where they bring up the possibility that maybe huvara means more than the nislabza. Before we use the expression nislabza literally means it was blown up. So there you have another wood. Sometimes, you know, coals are about to go out, and then like they have, you know, all of a sudden they flicker up a little bit again. That would be the slab. So as opposed to, Tosfos says, maybe huvara that we're talking about over here is something more than that. Maybe huvara, where they actually then came completely back on fire, would be more than that, and then we would consider, then the Gemara at least is going to take up the possibility later, that maybe then it would have a different status. Then it would go back to being like an unbanked fire, and then you would have issues with putting food on it or putting food back on it on Shabbos. But on the simple sense, the Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is just saying a different opinion than Rav Safra. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Yitzchak ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Ashi, kitma v'huvara, if you put ashes on the fire, v'huvara, and then the fire started up again on its own, the din would be mashna le'acham and shahuchim u'kol sarkan. At that point, all you could leave on it would be hot water that was already completely boiled, where again, once it's completely boiled, then you don't have an issue that then we're not concerned about that you're going to come to stir up the coals, because there's nothing to be gained by stirring them up, because that all it's going to cause is that more of the water is going to boil away. The tavshel shel bishul kol tzarkei, or a pot of food that's been completely cooked. So shmamina, now wouldn't that prove mitzamech v'yachaloi mutter? Now wouldn't this prove that? Now again, here we're going to bring in this matter of mitzamech v'yachaloi versus mitzamech v'raloi. Namely, again, you have within the food, you have two kinds of food that you couldn't leave on the stove. And we're going to give at the bottom of the omelet, the Gemara is going to give rules of one versus, how to tell what's one versus the other. But you have certain kinds of things where the longer you keep them on the fire, the more, now in general, when you cook food, it shrinks. Again, in a lot of different kinds of food, meat and other kinds of things, you cook them, they shrink. You have certain kinds of things where the more it shrinks, the more you like it, the better they taste. For example, the Gemara is going to say at the bottom of the omelet, eggs are an example of that. And then you have things where mitzamech v'ralo. You have things where as they shrink, once they're completely cooked, and then they continue shrinking, then you don't like it. You would rather that doesn't happen. Water is an example of that. Now, if Rav Oshia is telling us that You have this case where the fire started up again, even after you put ashes on it. Ann was saying that you're allowed to leave food that's completely cooked on there. The pashtus, he has to be talking about the stomach v'yachaloi, because otherwise Rashi says, what's the chiddush? Obviously, if it's mitzamek v'galoi, there's no concern of leaving it there, because you're not going to be stirring up the coals, because the more it cooks and the more it shrinks, the worse it's going to be. So obviously, the Oshi has to be talking about mitzamek v'yachaloi, and he's still saying it's mutter. Now, is that necessarily the case? Is that necessarily the case? On the face of it, with mitzamek v'yachaloi, you might still try to stir up the coals, because after all, it is yachaloi, because after all, it's better. And the point is, in other words, where water doesn't take very long to boil. A tap, so even though water in and of itself is mitzamek v'yachaloi, but it doesn't take that long to boil. So therefore, once it's boiled, then you'd be allowed to leave it over there. And actually, the other way around, the chiddush would be, as far as water, that even though water doesn't take very long to boil, nevertheless, you can only put water on such a stove, again, where the fire started up again after putting ashes on it, only if the water is completely boiled. We don't say, well, if the water is almost boiled, fine, it's just going to boil in another couple of minutes. We're not worried you're going to stir up the coals. We're still all worried about that. But the other thing, when he mentions about tavshil, the point is, why would he have to tell us, if not for the fact to tell us, that it applies to any kind of tavshil? Is it true that when food is mitzamek v'yachaloi, that you'd be allowed to leave it on a fire in that case, even though shouldn't we have to be concerned that you might try to stir up the coals again now that you saw that the coals are actually starting up again and the fire is actually starting up, then on the face of it, you shouldn't be able to leave mitzamek v'yachaloi. And yet he seems to be saying that you are. Because otherwise, as Rashi says, what's the chiddush? Or Tosfos says, because if he mentions tavshil generically, it means any kind of tavshil. The answer is not necessarily shiny hocha de kichma, because the fact of the matter is he did put ashes on it. He showed by that he doesn't want the fire to get larger again. So the fact that it became larger, he had nothing to do with it. Therefore, it should be allowed. So in that case, Yehochi might remember. In that case, then what's the chiddush? If you're telling me that the point is once he put ashes on it, then he's allowed to keep food on it, then of course, okay, we know already that if he put ashes, that it's allowed. The answer is Mao de Tema, yes, but otherwise, without the Oshia telling us, he would have thought. Kivan de Huvara, once the fire started up again, Hadrilala Milsa Kamaisa, maybe it goes back to what it was before. It's no longer considered a fire that was kitma, that he put ashes on, because the fact is now it's burning brightly again. So maybe therefore you should go back to the dinim of saying that you can't do shihiyo or you can't do chazar on it, as the case may be. Therefore, Kamash Malam, therefore Rav Oshia wants to tell us not like that. The fact that you put on the ashes, that's good enough to make it that you thereby demonstrated that you don't want the fire to become bigger, and therefore if it becomes bigger, it's not your problem. By the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyabach, Rashalom, points out an interesting din that comes from this. We were talking before about blefs and about covering the knobs and whatever. He says an interesting point. Based on this Gemara, it would come out that even if you put, now obviously, you know, Gemara was saying that if you put ashes on and then you yourself stirred up the fire to make it burn more brightly, then obviously that takes away the effect of putting on the ashes. Then you're back to the din. That's not Gemara for causing. Only if the fire by itself became larger, then you're allowed to use it. So therefore, he says, by the same token, if you put a bless on, you shouldn't be at, sometimes you have, you put on the bless, and then afterwards, you adjust the knob to the right temperature you want. He says, based on the Gemara over here, we'd see maybe you shouldn't be doing that, because if you adjust the knob, maybe it undoes the effect of putting the bless on. Okay, I mean, you have Rabbi Yitzchak Shalom Al-Yashiv, Oliver Shalom disagrees with that, and it's not quite the same thing because the fact of the matter is, when you stir up the fire in the Gemara, then whatever ashes are left are not really functioning anything over here. At least you still have the blessing still in place. So therefore, there's more reason to be mekel. But still, if you can do that, if you can set the knobs and only then put on the blast, then it would be then still better. Okay. Another din, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Baba Chana, Amar Rav Yechanan, Kitma Behuvara. Again, if you put ashes on the fire before Shabbos, on the coals before Shabbos, Behuvara, and then later on the fire flared up again. Again, we were allowed to keep on there water that was already completely boiled, the tavshol shabishol kol tzorkai, or food that was completely cooked, and this din would apply even if the coals are made out of roisem wood. Roisem wood, in English it's called a broom tree, is a kind of wood where the coals of it have a bit of an unusual feature. Even when on the outside they look completely cold, nevertheless they're still hot inside, and it's still possible to rouse them up again by stirring them. In fact, in other places, Gemara talks about that. There's in Kapitel Kuf Chaf of Tillim, it mentions Gachle Rasam, coals of Roisem, and compares them to people speaking Lashon Hara. And the Gemara explains the comparison, the Medrash, whatever, explains the comparison that just like coals of Roisem wood seem to be cold and harmless on the outside, but really they're burning hot on the inside, the same way Lashon Hara seems on the surface to be very harmless, but it can cause tremendous damage later on. Anyway, the point is that he's saying even if the coals over here are of Roisem, and therefore there's much more of a chance than there is with other kinds of cold that they're going to flare up again. Nevertheless, once you put ashes on, then it's mutter to leave food on it. So again, the question is, wouldn't this show again that there's no difference between different kinds of food, even if it's an stomach theophilo, even if it's one of those kinds of things where the longer it stays on the fire, the better it gets. Even then, we seem to be allowing it, which is not necessarily so simple, because again, if the stomach theophilus, shouldn't there be a concern that you're going to stir up the coals? And again, the Gemara says, "Shiny halcha b'kitma." No, because the difference is the fact of the matter is you did put ashes on here. Mela, if you hadn't put on ashes, then yes, we would say that there would be a difference between the stomach theophilus and the stomach veralos, because the stomach theophilus is more of a concern that you're going to stir up the coals, and the stomach veralos there is. But over here, where you put on ashes, and thereby you demonstrated that you don't intend to make the fire bigger on Shabbos, that you don't intend to do any further cooking, just to let it stay as it is, then that would be allowed. So the question is, again, if you're going to say that, then what's the chiddush? Then obviously you put ashes, so therefore it should be mutter. And again, the answer is, the answer is same as previously. The chiddush is, even though the fire flared up again, and you would think, therefore, we should say that once it flared up, it's not considered to be kotum anymore. It's not considered that the ashes that you put on there obviously had no effect, and therefore, maybe we should be more machmir. Therefore, you should be more machmir and not allow you to keep food on there at all. Okay. There's a question, though, still is, the Gemara says, so that would be the chiddush that nevertheless you're allowed to. However, the question is, Hainuhach, isn't what Rav Yochanan said exactly the same as what Rav Oshia said? And Rav Yochanan is Rav Oshia's Talmud, so why is he just saying the same thing over again? And why did the Gemara put it in? The answer is, Gecholim Shol Roisim, strictly. Fine, but Rav Yochanan's statement has an extra point in it that we didn't have before about this business of coals of Roisim wood. That even if the coals are of Roisim wood, where it's much more likely for them to flare up, because again, they have this property of staying hot on the inside, even when they're cold or dead on the outside, nevertheless, it would still be mutter as long as you put ashes in the first place to demonstrate that you don't plan to make the fire flare up again. So then even if it flared up on its own, it's not your problem. Okay. Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Yechanan. More on this topic, Rav Sheshes says the name of Yechanan, Shirashi Sikuha Begefes of Eitim, a stove that was fired with Gefes or with wood, where, as we've been saying all along, you have issues with it, unless you do Gorof for custom. So he says, you would be allowed to keep on it before Shabbos, even without doing Gerut for Katan. You would be allowed to put on it hot water that's not completely boiled, or the tavshil shalei bishul kol tzorka, or food that's not completely cooked, meaning, again, as long as it's already at Michael Bender's say. Okay, but if you took the pot off the stove, lo yachdu, then you wouldn't be allowed to put it back. Unless you previously swept out the coals or put ashes. Tosfos, by the way, we talked about yesterday, Tosfos mentioned that there might even be an issue putting it back before Shabbos, because if it's cooled off enough before Shabbos, then there'd be an issue putting it back even before Shabbos. Because again, the same problem you're going to have, that you're going to try to stir up the coals on Shabbos to get it hot again. As Tosfos says, that's why the expression is yigros or yitin efer, which are in the future tense, meaning that even now on Erev Shabbos, you would be also to put back that pot if it cooled off, unless now before Shabbos you hurry up and make the stove go to Fukatum. Anyway, so again, so Rav Sheshet is telling us in the name of Rav Yechanan that this whole concept of go to Fukatum only applies if you're going to be doing Chazara. It doesn't apply to Shehiya. Shehiya you would be allowed to do even if you didn't do Gerut for Katan, even though the food wasn't completely cooked, as long as it was cooked Michael Bender's side. So Kasava Masnit Mahasitnan. So that means your Shehiya holds like the first possibility that we discussed before on Amud Aleph, that on Mishnah is talking about the dinim of when you're allowed to return a pot of food to the stove. And for that, you need Gerut for Katan. Avol l'shahos, but when you're talking about leaving food on the stove, m'shahin, he would hold, like Chananya, that you're allowed to leave it, apel p'sheni, Gerut for Katan, even if you didn't do Gerut for Katan, because he holds that Chananya. That once it's at Michael Ben Rosoi, then you're good. Omar Rava, so Rava asks, why did Rav Sheshet need to tell us that statement? Kavayu t'nani. Both parts of what Rav Sheshet is telling us, we actually have in Mishnayot. Both the part about Shehiya, that you're allowed even without Gerut for Katan, and the part about Chazara, that you're only allowed if Gerut for Katan, both of these we have Mishnayot that tell us so explicitly. Or not explicitly, but at least implicitly. L'shahos panena. We learn a Mishnah previously in our Masechta that implies that you're allowed to do Shehiya even without doing Gerut for Katan, namely like this. We learned in the first paragraph, you're not allowed to put bread into the oven to bake right before Shabbos, right before it gets dark, or a flat bread, which you put directly on the coal, you bake it directly on top of the coal, you're not allowed to do that, unless there's enough time before Shabbos for it to form a crust. And we talked about over there, doesn't mean the top part has to form a crust or the bottom part, whatever, but once it forms some kind of crust, wherever it's supposed to be, then implicitly we're saying, once it forms a crust, shari lahachir. Then it would be allowed. So you see, now both of those cases of an oven that you're putting bread into is considered to be an oven, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, is not considered Gerut for Katan, even if you did actually sweep out the coals or you did cover them with ashes. Nevertheless, because an oven retains so much more heat than a stove, then the Chachamim are concerned that still you're going to try to stir up whatever coals are left. And therefore, an oven is always considered not Gerut for Katan. So you can't. But nevertheless, we're still saying that once the bread is partially baked, once it's formed a crust, then you'd be allowed to leave it in there to finish baking on Shabbos. And the same thing when we said we're talking about a flat bread on top of coals. Obviously, if it's on top of coals and you didn't rake out the coals, you didn't cover them with ashes, we're talking about live coals and you have the bread directly on top of it. And implicitly, we're still saying that once it's formed a crust, then it'd be allowed. Once it formed a crust, then both of those are mutter. You'd be allowed in the case of an oven, even though an oven of the time of the Gemara is never considered Gerut for Katan, or in the case of the coals, even though you have actual coals over there that haven't been swept out or covered. So we see from that that when it comes to shahiya, that when it comes to leaving the food to finish cooking, you'd be allowed once it was nice or better, sorry. And as far as the dinim that Rav Sheshit is telling us, as far as returning a pot, that it needs to be gorech for kotum, we learned also in our mission, that the Tillul says you're allowed to return food to the stove on Shabbos, but an kan the kashoru b'tillul all the grufa uktuma, and the Tillul is only allowing it, as we said in the Mishnah, only if the pot is gorech for kotum, only if the stove is gorech for kotum, the kotum, avam sheina grufa uktuma loy, but if it's not gorech for kotum, then not. So what is Rav Sheshit? What is the chiddush of what Rav Sheshit is telling us? The answer is, Rav Sheshit nami diyuk and namastis and kamash malon. You're right. In fact, Rav Sheshit is not coming to tell us any kind of chiddush. Rav Sheshit wants us to understand the diyuk of the Mishnah. This that we said, that the first Mishnah didn't actually say in so many words that once it formed a crust, you'd be allowed to leave it over there. The Mishnah just said that if it didn't form a crust, then it's not allowed. Implicitly, that means that if it formed a crust, it is allowed. So Rav Sheshit wants us to know that that's the correct understanding of the Mishnah. Tosfos says, that's what Rashi says. Tosfos says that can't be what it means. That's a very obvious thing. You don't need Rav Sheshit to be telling us to understand the Mishnah that way. Rather, Tosfos says Rav Sheshit's chiddush is precisely the idea that we should understand our Mishnah like Chananya and say, as we said before, that the Mishnah is missing words and that it has two. And then it's telling us that the genium it's talking about are as far as Chazara. We wouldn't have known that because we started off the sugya with the question of whether our Mishnah goes like Hananya or like the Chachamim. So Tosfos says, Rav Sheshit and Chiddush is, he wants to tell us, understand the Mishnah like Hananya, that there's no issue with Shehiyah. Once it was Michael Ben Rasoi, the only issue is Chazara. Okay. And again, you have here's where Rashi mentions, and again Tosfos mentions, that the halacha is like Hananya, and therefore we'd be allowed to do Shehiyah even without Grufa Uktuma. Again, the Rif and the Rambam disagree on various grounds, one of them being, again, that we mentioned before Rav Oshia's din, about when the fire flared up, then it's allowed, then it's allowed because you did gorech for kotum, implying that you need gorech for kotum in the first place in order to allow the food to be left down there before Shabbos. Also, the Gemara is going to be talking about the distinction between the stomach b'yokoloi and the stomach b'raloi, which is only relevant as far as Shehiyah. It's not really relevant. It's not really relevant to Chazara. So that's another proof, says the Rish, that the halacha should not be like Hananya. Okay, but let's go on. So far we had Rabbi Baba Chana's version of what Rabbi Yechanan said, and we had Rav Sheshit's version of what Rabbi Yechanan said. We said Rabbi Baba Chana's version was that once you did gorech for kotum, that if you did kotum, if you put ashes on, and then the fire flared up again, you're still allowed to leave on there food that was completely cooked, even if the stomach is yachaloi. Then we had Rav Sheshit's version of Rav Yechanan, that to do shehiyah you don't even need gorech for kotum as long as the food is Michael Ben Rusai, which is obviously a lot more lenient than Rabbi Baba Chana's version. And now we have a third version. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rav Yechanan, kira shesikur begefes of eitzim, if you fired the stove with gefes or with wood, which is when you have a problem that you have coal. Mashin alav tavshol shabishol kol tzorkei, you would be allowed to leave on such a stove food that was completely cooked. So not like Rav Sheshit's version that you would be allowed to leave on their food that was cooked like Michael Ben Rasoi, only if it was completely cooked. He would say, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. You would be allowed to put on there water that was completely boiled, and then even if it's one of those things where the more it shrivels up, the better it tastes. So in other words, he's taking sort of a little bit of a middle ground between Rabbi Baba Chana and Rav Sheshit. So Rabbi Baba Chana had said the only thing that would be mutter is when you did gorech for kotum would be only if the food was completely cooked and if the stomach were aloi. Rav Sheshet would be saying that it would be mutter even if it's Samatha Yachalai, and it would be mutter even if Michael Ben Rasai. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, Michael Ben Rasai, no, but it's Samatha Yachalai. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalayahu midrabbanim l'Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So one of the Chachamim asked Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, how could you say that it's allowed if mitzamis biyafaloi, if it's one of those things that the more it cooks, the more it shrivels, the better it tastes? Didn't Rav and Shmuel both say mitzamis biyafaloi is mutter? Now how can you be saying that it's mutter? Amalay, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda answers, Otu less than a yada. The Amr of Yosef, Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Mitzamach V'Yachalai also. Don't you think I know that, yes, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel that Mitzamach V'Yachalai would be also to leave on the stove before Shabbos? But that's fine. That's according to Rav and Shmuel. Ki kamina loch le Rav Yehuda kamina. Fine, but what I'm telling you is according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is allowed to argue with Rav and Shmuel. So I'm telling you, I'm telling you my version of what Rav Yehuda. So what do we do? Amalei ma'uk from imeisham ravashi. So ma'uk amalei rav uk from imeisham ravashi. So rav uk from meisham says to ravashi like this. Now meisham is an area of Babel. Meisham is basically the extreme south of Babel. Nowadays parts of it are in Iran, but it was considered, even though, I mean, nowadays you look on a map, it's all part. It's mostly all part of Iraq. In those days, it was considered a separate province. So it was all part of the same empire, but it was considered a separate, area, separate than Babel proper. In fact, you have Gemara's in Kedushin that mentioned that the people of Meshan, most of them were Psula Yichus, most of them had issues with, that they were intermarried with Mamzerim and Avodim and other such things like that. But nevertheless, we see here that there was a Rav Ukva from there who was a Talmud Chacham, because after all, we know that even Mam is a Talmud Chacham, part of the Kohen Gadol, Lama Oris. Even you have a person who has a Psul Yichus, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, still the fact that he learned Torah itself makes him great. Anyway, so Rav Ukva from Meshan says to Rav Ashi, Atun, you, for example, Rav Ashi, who live in Surah, Mas Mas Machasya, Dimukazitu the Rav Shmuel, you are close geographically to where Rav and Shmuel live. Therefore, Abiduka Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, you should follow Rav and Shmuel and say that Mitzamas V'Yachaloi would be Osir. And then, whereas we who live in Meshan, which is a different area, Navid Kirav Yechanan, we're entitled, if we want, to follow Rav Yechanan and be Meikol and say that even Mitzamas V'Yachaloi would be fine. Practically speaking, again, if we say that Shehiyah is mutter, even if you didn't do Gorda for Kultum, then there's not really a practical difference whether we talk over here about Mistamak Liopoloi or Mistamak Radaloi, because either way, Shehiyah would be allowed even without putting a bless, even without Gorda for Kultum. If we say that it's mutter, then on the surface of it, this whole discussion about mitzamek biyopoloi and mitzamek beraloi wouldn't be relevant. Although the Baal Amor still wants to make a distinction, because it still wants to make a distinction that if it's mitzamek biyopoloi, then still if it's not completely cooked, then you're not allowed to, and mitzamek beraloi you would be able to. So he wants to say that within that there would be a difference. Most of the Rishonim disagree with him and say there's no difference. Okay. So the question is, Omelei Abayel Rav Yosef, Mahu L'Shahos, so what's the bottom line? Are you allowed to Shehiya on a stove that was not Gorach L'Kasrum? So in other words, what's the bottom line? Do we follow Hananya or not? Amalei, so Rav Yosef tells him, Hor Rav Yehuda, Mashu Leiv Achol. We see that Rav Yehuda, who was Rav Yosef's Rebbe, would have food left on the stove for him before Shabbos, and he would eat from it. And the stove wasn't necessarily Gorosh for Kotum. So again, either it wasn't completely cooked before Shabbos, or it was Mitzamas V'Yachaloi. We see that Rav Yehuda would allow it. Amalei, but Abayah says, Bar Minei Rav Yehuda. Never mind what Rav Yehuda did. That was a special case. To keep him a sukkah, who Rav Yehuda was often dangerously sick. Rav Yehuda would regularly get something called bulmus, which is some kind of condition, maybe low blood sugar or something, where he needs right away to eat good tasting food in order to restore his strength. So therefore, so for him, So for him, you have the, you get your food out. So for him, bulmos is considered a chol shiyesh b'sakana. He would be dangerously sick. So therefore, for such a thing, they would be allowed to do. They'd be allowed to do differently than usual than the usual rules. Because he gets sick very often. Therefore, he needs good food on Shabbos. So therefore, after the Shabbos, now he's shorter the man. Right? So therefore, even on Shabbos, he'd be allowed to do such a thing for him because he would be dangerously sick. Leave a lochmai, but if I ask of Yosef, what about for me or for you, who are regular healthy people, are we allowed to shahia of food on the stove if the stove was not gora for katum? And again, as Tosfos says, either the food wasn't completely cooked before Shabbos or was completely cooked from the stamathi of the light. So what is it? Amalei, Rav Yosef tells him, the Sura Mashu, we see that in the city of Sura, they do that. They do put pots of food on the fire before Shabbos, even without Gorach Kotum. And we see the heart of Nachum Yitzchak married Ogahava, because we see that Nachum Yitzchak was very careful with his actions. He would always be very careful. He would go with Nimashura Fadim. And Umashu Leiv Ochel, and they would leave food on the stove for him before Shabbos, and he would eat from it. So you see, therefore, that such a thing is allowed. Again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about over here where it wasn't Gorach B'Katrum. According to the Zis, we'd have to be talking about here where it was Gorach B'Katrum, and the question was, when was Gorach B'Katrum, is there any reason still to be Machmer? And Rabbi Yosef is telling him that no. Almer of Ashi, sort of Ashi says in this connection, in the Kamez Rabuna, I was one time standing at a Talmud in front of Rabuna, the Shohim like Kosta de Harasana, they had left on the stove for him before Shabbos, Kosta de Harasana, which is a dish made out of fish that are cooked with their own fat and flour. So it was sort of like the equivalent of bisulta fish, basically. Yeah, like nowadays, bisulta fish is made with fish and various other binders, not on Pesach, obviously, but this cost of the house, you know, was somewhat similar. It was fish that was cooked or fried using flour and its own fat. It's called cost of the house, you know. So they had done that. They had left some of that on the fire for him before Shabbos, the ochal, and he ate from it on Shabbos, and the fire hadn't been gorach b'katum. The lawyer Dina, so Rav Ashi says, I don't know, when I'm telling over the story later on, is it that Rav Huna held that it's okay even if the food is mistamek the yopalai, it's still okay as long as it was cooked kemaychol ben rasoi, or even if it was completely cooked, even though it's mistamek the yopalai, once it was completely cooked, you're allowed to leave it on the fire even if it wasn't gorach b'katrum. Or maybe since it contains flour in it, the stomach redaloi. Maybe cost of the house, and it's considered something that is the stomach redaloi, and therefore only that would he be allowing, but not the stomach redaloi. So in this connection, omen of nachin, the stomach redaloi, also the stomach redaloi mutter. The basic rule is that mitzamek v'yafaloi would be osir, mitzamek v'ralo would be mutter. Again, this is all if we're saying that it's osir to do shahia on Shabbos. If we say, according to most poskim, according to most rishonim, if we say that shahia is mutter, like Hananya says, then it's neither here nor there, except according to the Baal Amar. So the Gemara says klal of the milsa, the general rule is kol be'ispei micha, anything that has flour in it, mitzamek v'raloi, is considered to be mitzamek v'raloi, because the longer it stays on the fire and shrivels up, the worse it gets, because the flour becomes hard and not so good to eat. Levar mitavshel the lifta, with the exception of a dish of cooked turnip. The apple, if they micha, the turnips, even though you mix in flour with them to hold them together, nevertheless, that would be considered the stamach biyafa, but anything else that contains flour would be the stamach bada. Vahani mili de ispei bisra. Now that only applies if the turnips also have meat mixed in with it. So in other words, if you have a stew that's made out of meat and turnips and flour. So then we're saying that then it's considered an ophthalmic theophylloid, because the more the meat cooks and the more the meat shrivels up, the more fat comes out of it and makes the and improves the taste of the turnips. So then it would be ophthalmic theophylloid. I have a less de bistra, but if you have only turnips and flour, ophthalmic viraloid. Then it would be considered ophthalmic viraloid, because then you don't have anything that's improving. Then you don't have anything that's improving the turnips, and then you just have the flour is getting cooked more and more and becoming worse and worse. The chi is de bistra nami, and even if there is meat in this dish of turnips or whatever else, nami layamara, and that's only talking about elabila kaboila la'urchin, only if he's going to be eating it by himself and he doesn't have in it pieces that he intends to serve to the guests. Have a kaboila la'urchin, but if he intends to serve it, if he intends to serve it to guests, then even though there's meat in it, it would be considered ophthalmic viraloid, because you still want the pieces of meat to be big enough and important enough to look. So you still want the meat big enough for it to be something important looking to put in front of the guests. And lobster, if you have a kind of porridge made out of figs, made out of cooked figs, or dicer, which is basically like styrofoam, broken up grains of wheat that then you cook into a kind of porridge, the tamri, or cooked or food made out of dates, all of those, mitzamik v'ralahan, all those are mitzamik v'ralahan. Okay, so we have some basic definitions of what mitzamik v'yakaloi and mitzamik v'ralahan is, where again, if we hold that shihiya is mutter, then according to most Rishonim, there's really no difference in it. Because we say either way, you'd be allowed to leave the pot on the stove before Shabbat, even without Gorah for Kotum. The question would only be, the Gorah for Kotum, you need only for Chazara. And Chazara, you're not going to be putting it back. You're not going to be putting it back if it's Mestamik Viraloi. You're not going to be putting it back if the more it cooks, the worse it's going to get. There is a little bit of a Nafkamina, though. With this definition of Mestamik Viraloi, as far as when we talk about in the next parak, about Hatsmana, when we talk about insulating a part of food before Shabbos, where depending on if you didn't follow the proper halachas there and you insulated it in a way that you weren't supposed to, then you have a bit of a difference whether it's Mestamik Viraloi or Mestamik Viraloi as far as whether you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos. But as far as Shehiyah, given that we follow the minhag, that we follow the Rishonim, such as Rashi and Tosfos, who say that the halacha is that you're allowed to do Shehiyah of any kind of food once it reaches Michael ben Rizoi, then before Shabbos, then there's not really much of a difference between Mitzamek B'Yafalai and Mitzamek B'Ralai.
Okay. But there's a difference if you take the coal, if you have to do the coal.
No, so that's what we're saying. If we hold like Hananya, as far as Shehiyah, you do not have to do anything with the coal. That's what we're saying. Once the food reached Michael Bender's story before Shabbos, Hananya would say, as we've been saying throughout the Sugya, that you don't need Zoruch for Kotum. You don't need to do anything with the coal in order to leave the food on there before Shabbos.
Now it's an extra cooler, saying that if the pig it on makes the food taste worse, then for sure you'll have to keep it on.
Well, so what we're saying is, according to Hananiah, it wouldn't make a difference. Whether it's Mestamik V'yafaloi or whether it's Mestamik V'raloi, according to most Rishonim's understanding of Hananiah, or most of the Rishonim, except for the Baal Amar, according to their understanding of Hananiah, there's no difference either way. You would be allowed to leave the food on there before Shabbos once it reached Michael Ben Rizoi. According to the Rif and the Rambam, who are machmir on that, and say the halacha is not like Hananya, and even to do shehiyah, you need to have done gorah for kotum, you need to have swept out or covered the coal, then they would say that then the discussion that we have in the Gemara over here about mitzamik v'yafaloi or mitzamik v'raloi is relevant, because you would say that when it comes to shehiyah, you'd have the difference once the food was completely cooked. If it's mitzamik v'raloi, then it's okay to leave it on there, even if it's not gorah for kotum, because you're not going to stir up the coal and make the food get ruined. Yeah, this is actually, by the way, one of the Rif's proofs that the halacha must not be like Hananya, because otherwise, why is the Gemara bothering to go into this whole discussion about the Mestamik V'yafaloi and Mestamik V'raloi?
Okay. Even though we do actually go according to him.
Well, yeah, according to the Rif and the Rambam, we don't go like Hananya, according to Rashi and Tosfos, we do.
Okay. So it ends where, the question mark is, you want to be machmer, if you want to be ola kula. There's no final say at this point.
Right. Well, ultimately, that's the thing. The Gemara hasn't clearly told us whether the halacha is like Hananya or like the Chachamim, so therefore that's left up to the Rishonim to decide what the halacha is about.
Like you mentioned, the Rif, that since Yidden would want to have the Shabbos, so...
Well, the Rosh is not right. The Jews want to have Oryx Shabbos, and therefore they try to be makel on there. Therefore, within that, we try to be makel on these things, right?